Welcome to River Life Podcasts. We're a church family embracing the Father's presence, releasing empowered people to declare and demonstrate Christ's kingdom. We trust that God would use what you hear today to bless and grow you so that you would be a blessing to those around you. For more information about River Life Baptist Church, go to riverlifechurch.org.au or find us on social media.
We've been looking at the last 3 weeks or so. This is the third week of a series called Only Jesus. And in looking at Only Jesus, we're coming off the back of this idea that this year we really believe God's calling us into a breakthrough. And the only way we're going to see breakthrough is only in Jesus, right? He's the only way that we can find this level of breakthrough that we're looking for, a breakthrough in signs and wonders, a breakthrough in miracles, a breakthrough in our marriages, a breakthrough in our finances, a breakthrough in being the people of God into the community that we belong to, a breakthrough in the harvest of salvations. We want to see breakthrough. And as we do, Jesus is the only way that that happens. We're called it to be these disciples that would follow him. And as we follow him, we become like him. That's the idea of a disciple. A disciple is like an apprentice who comes alongside the master and learns how to live as the master lives. The idea is not as a disciple that, I believe to that creed. I believe in that principle. I believe in those set of values. That's not what a disciple is. A disciple may believe in those same things. They might be the yoke at which a disciple takes on. But what a disciple actually does is aims to walk with their master so they actually become like them. And so as we follow Jesus, the whole idea is that we would follow him to be with him so we become like him. And we've looked at this idea of following. We looked at this idea that that means surrender. It's going to cost you. Your yes to Jesus means a no to other things. But the beauty of that is that because you're created in his image, when you're saying yes to him, when you lay down everything else to put him in a priority schedule of yes, he's my priority, the way he's calling me and asking me to follow after him now becomes the priority. This surrendered life, although costly, actually brings forth the greatest life possible. Jesus's words to his disciples, to you and me, is that in him life is found, life abundantly, life to the full. And so this is when we come into relationship and follow after him, empowered by his spirit, we then become these people who are able to follow. We not only follow, we become like. It's his transformational work that's done inside of us because he removes and takes away the penalty of the sin when he went to the cross, and through his victory over the grave, now lives in us by the power of his presence, of his Holy Spirit, who now enables us to live in relationship with God in such a way that we become like him more and more. This is how we see breakthrough. This is the essence of breakthrough. It's not about, you know, being better at stuff. It's actually about just following him. And this is the big idea. We're talking on it for 9 weeks. The big idea, we're starting with it, we're finishing with it. Who's it about? Jesus. That's why the series is called Only Jesus. And this is not rocket science. If we want to follow Jesus, we want to be with him so we might become like him, then guess what? We have to be like him in every way. And tonight I want to talk to you about, I believe that if we want to become like him, you've got to pray like him. And I want to talk to you about praying like Jesus. What did Jesus pray like? What was it that enabled him to be able to move in relationship with God in such a way that he was able to be who he was? You see, for us, I think a lot of the times, prayer is in those moments of crisis, yes? Prayer becomes those things, not all of the time, but a lot of our prayers become the request. A lot of our prayers become the things that we'd like to see in the breakthrough even. You know, the things that we want to see God breakthrough in, the things that were unanswered for us, things that we're striving after. But a lot of those things originate, they come out of these moments of crisis. It's like we get to the point where we go, I think I'll pray about this. You know, I can remember, we will pray about all sorts of different things, whether it be in the whole idea of wisdom and need understanding and all of that. I remember when we were, raising the finance and going through the development of building this building that we're sitting in right now. By the way, we have not raised all the finance for this. We still owe a heck of a lot of money. So if you'd like to continue to give towards it, that'd be welcome. Anyway, as we do so, I can remember my prayer life just shot through the roof. Like for a couple of years, I did not have, that's not the sort of stuff they teach you at Bible college, by the way. They don't teach you how to manage a building project and take a whole bunch of people with you and raise enough money for it to all happen. And, you know, you don't get taught that. I just pressed in hard to the Lord, like, God, I believe you've called us to this. I need some help right now, you know? And sometimes it's things like that. You know, you need wisdom, you need understanding, you're making decisions on things, you need that. Other times it's like protection, you know? You call out that help prayer when you need protection. I remember, and it can be something simple right through to, you know, something drastic. I can remember praying for protection, walking through train stations in the middle of foreign countries in the middle of the night, and you're walking through communities that you have no idea anybody. You do not speak the language, and you're thinking, God, would you help me? I remember, you know, even as a young teenager, out camping and coming back in after dark by myself, trying to find my way back to camp. And the noises at night become amplified. Have you ever noticed that? And every small noise within the dark, you're thinking, oh my goodness, what was that? And you're, God help, I need you to protect me. I don't know what's out here, you know? It's the same sort of feelings I used to have when I break a curfew as a teenager. I would hear all sorts of the noises and God, just help me sneak back in just right, you know? But you get the idea, right? Prayer for us is often in those moments of need, and in crisis, they become amplified. But I want to flip this idea on the head, because if we want to pray like Jesus, Jesus always prayed out of a moment of need. And he also prayed in moments of crisis. Let me put it this way. You see, when Jesus was about to go to the cross, when he's about to get arrested, when he was actually at the cross, he was still praying. That's a moment of crisis. But his whole life was a moment of need in prayer. Why? Because he needed to know what the Father was doing. He needed to hear the voice of his dad. He needed to be able to understand where he was to go and what he was to do next. And I want to talk into a passage that I think is key to understanding just how important prayer was for Jesus, because it wasn't a peripheral issue. It wasn't something on the sidelines of his life. Prayer was at the very center of his life. In fact, he needed prayer. And I figure that if it's at the center of the life and the one whom we're trying to become like, then actually we need it in the center of ours as well. And so we're going to head to John chapter 5. If you've got your Bibles there, you can open it up at John chapter 5. We'll get there in just a moment. But Jesus is already doing some amazing stuff right now, okay? He's got a whole bunch of disciples, right? Like there are people coming out of the woodwork trying to find and follow and look for Jesus, because he's teaching like nobody else. The miracles are happening. There's all sorts of stuff going on. And it's raising a lot of attention in the community. It's raising actually the attention also of the religious leaders of the day. Because they see like all these people now coming up to be discipled by Jesus. And they're worried. They're like, well, Jesus is baptizing more people than John did. And he baptized them in repentance. And now his disciples, Jesus' disciples, are baptizing like heaps of people. And people are being set free and delivered and healed. And in fact, we passage in John chapter 5 that we're going to start at in verse 19 comes right after this couple of amazing miracles, you know, a miracle of faith where someone says, you know, hey, I go after Jesus and tell him that my kid's sick. And then Jesus just says, go back, your kid's okay, it's going to be all right. And finds out, wow, it's right at the time that Jesus said that. And then Jesus is healing someone who's been crippled for year after year after year and is waiting beside this pool for the waters to stir. And Jesus says, pick up your mat and walk. And this person is healed. The only problem is that Jesus doesn't care much for the religious attitude of the day. Because as you're about to find out, he's more interested in what his Father says than everybody else. And so we pick it up in a moment of tension in John chapter 5, verse 16. Let's start there. Because he's doing these things and he's healing people. And he's even doing them on the Jewish Sabbath, which is a big no-no, because it's considered like work, right? So let's pick it up, verse 16. So because Jesus was doing these things, all the stuff I just described to you, on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. In his defense, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working." For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him. Not only is he now breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. So now this is blasphemy, right? They've got him pinned. You're saying God's your dad? You're blasphemous. You're saying you're equal with God? You heal on the Sabbath and you're doing this? And this Jesus, right? He's causing all sorts of trouble. And then in verse 19, listen. Jesus gave them this answer. "Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself." Ever thought about that? Get to that later, but let that sink in. The Son can do nothing by himself. Do you know what the word for nothing is in Greek? You know what it means? Nothing. Zilch. Nada. Nada. Nip. Nothing. Come back to this. This is good. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and allows him and shows him, all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. There's a lot of things in this passage that are pretty cool. But I want to explore a couple of ideas, because if we are to follow Jesus and become like him, then we must know the Father's will, and that must involve praying like Jesus. You see, prayer for Jesus was about a constant conversation with his Father. My Father is always at his work. Every day, right to this very day. And I too am working. Like, you can pick up what's happening, right? God's at work, therefore I'm at work. Why? Because I'm listening to what he says. And I'm only doing what he says to do. I can't do anything of myself. I'm doing it because we're working in partnership here. And if God was always at work and Jesus did nothing by himself, only ever did what his Father was doing, then Jesus needed this constant conversation. Prayer for Jesus, just like for us, became how he understood the Father's will, how he heard the Father's voice and was connected to the power source that made the difference he made. And while Jesus had equal status with God, he didn't abuse that. He didn't cling to the advantages of that status. In fact, just like Pastor Joe talked about last week from Philippians chapter 2, he set aside all those privileges of his deity and he took on the status of a servant. He became human and served even to the point of death. Jesus clung to prayer like it was a lifeline. And not just in moments of crisis, but every day, all day, at every waking moment, he was in a constant conversation with the Father. Sometimes he prayed all night, it tells us in Scripture. At other times, he got up before sunrise. He followed the normal Jewish practices of going to synagogue, praying three times a day. We know that Jesus also prayed in private. It tells us that it was usual for him to go to the Garden of Gethsemane, to be able to pray. It tells us in Luke chapter 5, he often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Jesus looked for these moments to be alone with the Father. He looked for these moments where he would not be interrupted, where there would be a building up of an intimacy of relationship with God to the point where he would hear the Father's voice clearly. Why? Because he couldn't do anything without it. What gives us the idea? Help me. I still don't understand this. I don't understand human behavior. And I am one most of the time. What is it that happens in here or in here? If we look at the life of Jesus and he can't do anything without the empowering presence of the Father and knowing what his will is, what on earth are we doing trying to do it without prayer? Why do we try to control our circumstance when we have not got an ice cream's chance in hell of doing it? Why on earth do we, as disciples, these people who follow Jesus so we might become like Jesus, think that we can do the stuff that Jesus has done any differently from how Jesus did it? He only did it because he was intimate in relationship with his Father, and this was his prayer time. He sought the priority of time with his dad to listen, to understand. Prayer was a lifeline to knowing and doing the Father's will, and therefore Jesus prayed all the time. He prayed for his disciples. He prayed the good news of his presence for his disciples. I love this aspect. You know, Jesus didn't just pray for his disciples back then. There's this beautiful passage in John chapter 17. And in John chapter 17, it's called the high priestly prayer sort of thing. And Jesus prays for you and me. And the Bible tells us in Romans that he continues to intercede on our behalf. This is awesome. Anyone ever had a prayer partner? Prayer partner? You had prayer partner? No, I'm the only one. You had prayer partners? One of my prayer partners is down here. I'm prayer partners with this guy down here. He's up on piano, Joshy. I go to his place every week. We pray together. Yeah, it's great. It's good as he is. I got one better. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus prays for you. And you want to know the guts, the center line of what Jesus prays for you about? Yeah, I can believe he's got a hold of your knowledge and your heart. He knows what is on your mind. He knows what's concerning you. He knows everything about you. And I believe he's bringing those things to the Father because he loves you and he's pouring out on you and he wants to make sure that you're represented before your dad in heaven, right? And I get that. But I think the greatest thing that he prayed, because he tells us in John chapter 17, this. He says these words. And I tell you, if I could find it, because I think I've just gone off script. I want the world to know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Wow. God loves you like he loves Jesus. And Jesus is praying that you get a hold of that truth. He started back then, and he hasn't stopped praying for you, that you would understand that truth, that it would drop from here to here, that it'd go from a head knowledge of, yeah, okay, that's cool. Jesus, you know, yeah, I know God loved Jesus. Of course he did. It was his only son, a begotten son, you know. He loved the world. He gave him up. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know how God could love me like that, though. Like, Jesus was perfect, right? I'm all messed up. Bah-bah. Yes, you're messed up. It's a good. Have a look around the room. We're full of a room of messed up people. That's why only Jesus. That's the good news. You see, Jesus becomes now the way in which God sees you. And as much as he loved his son, he now looks at you because the penalty of your sin that keeps you separated from him has been paid for. And when you acknowledge that and you come near, he says, well, there's nothing stopping you. I love you just like I love my son. That is radically good news. I think we just kind of think of it like, oh, it's kind of like I've heard this before. If you want to become like Jesus, if you really want to be his disciple, if you want to be with him so you can become like him. Now, when I say become like him, I want you to remember what he was like. He was gracious and compassionate and kind. He was slow to anger. He abounded in love. Miracles, healings, words of encouragement. He stopped with the one and loved on them. You want to be like that? You got to get the truth about how God sees you. Because of the Father's love. You see, essential to Jesus with the truth that the Father loves the Son and shows him his will. Because of the Father's love, the Son, he's willing to show him not only what he's going to do, but because the Son's dependence on the Father, he was willing to come and ask the Son, ask the Father. I've always encouraged my kids to ask questions. I think it's a great thing to do. They ask a lot of questions. In class just recently, one of them came home saying, they tell me I ask too many questions. I said, what does your science teacher think about that? No, science teacher loves it. He thinks that's an inquisitive mind. What's the English teacher say? Yeah, she just says, stop asking questions. Ask questions. Why? Because an inquisitive mind actually helps you understand. But it's pride that gets in the way, right? It's pride that gets in the way of coming in a state of dependency. We sit in this turmoil within our own lives and we come to the point, just like kids coming to their teacher, I can't ask this question again. I've already asked it once before. I can't ask this question. What if it shows that I don't know the answer already? And yet Jesus is constantly coming to the dad, his father. He's asking questions like, what are we going to do today? Where is it you're working? Who am I to heal today? What's happening? What's going on? What? And they're in constant conversation. And somehow we think, I don't need to do that. It's pride that jumps in the road. But the Father's love wipes out any of that. You see, for prayer for Jesus was about intimacy with the Father. And there's one little word that you can just jump straight over in understanding about the prayer life of Jesus. It's a little word, it's only four letters long in the Greek. And this word is, it's probably in the Aramaic actually. And this word is just so, well, nondescript really, I guess, but was a really big deal when the disciples heard it uttered on the lips of Jesus. In fact, the passage we're in John chapter 5, he gets in trouble because he's basically saying the same thing in a slightly different way there. This one little word, it transforms everybody's actual understanding of who this God is in which he's praying to. To me, this word holds special memories and meaning. Because I don't get called this word much anymore as my kids are growing up. Occasionally, they'll still come to me and say, hey, Dada. I say, what do you want? No. Dada. They've never called me Daddy. Oh, actually, one of them when I was really little used to call me Daddy John. And I kind of wondered, who's the other Daddy? I don't know why he'd put those two things together. But Dada is special to me. Why? Because there's only two kids in the whole world that can call me Dada. Only two. I love it when they do it. Teenagers now, you know, well, nearly one of them. Not so big on teenage boy love, you know, with regards to calling me Dada. And in the garden just before his crucifixion, with the cross looming large before him, Jesus calls out, Dada. Abba. Abba. Just such a small word, seemingly insignificant to us, but I tell you what, if you grab the meaning and the understanding of this, this is the sort of love relationship that Jesus prays you would have with Father God. You see, in the Jewish understanding, throughout the Old Testament, God is referred to at different times as Father, but it's more in the patriarchal father sense of a clan, you know, like of a leader of a people. The father of a family was a revered and respected position, right? Kind of that patriarchal society had the father at the top of the list. And that's how God was seen, like this father, a little bit distant, a little bit removed, a little bit stern, a little bit loving, but, you know, kind of removed. And Jesus comes in and just blows everybody away and says, no, he's like daddy. He's like my dada. And you're loved by God, by Abba, as much as Jesus was. And that's the beauty of the gospel. We're called into this intimate relationship with the creator of the universe. We would come to know him as our dad. The father loves the son and therefore shows him all he does. You want to follow Jesus so you might be with him, so you might become like him? One of the keys is to know him as dad. It's hard for successful people to understand. Jesus shows us that in prayer, it's that natural cry of like a kid, a little kid. You know, sometimes I think we're like teenagers. Kind of want to walk around and say, I can do it. I'm becoming independent. That's normal, right? Nothing wrong with it, except in a spiritual sense. Because we walk around thinking, God, I got this one. Seen how this pans out before. I can handle this until we don't. And that's the scandal of the gospel. That's the beautiful thing is that he just comes alongside of us and he just says, you know what? You created a mess, I can help you clean it up. I'm with you like your dad. These almost vulnerable parts of a younger self that we once knew, that we're told by the world you ought to grow up and hide, become independent. Really, we should never be teenagers or adults in our faith. We should stay like little children. Why? Well, firstly, Jesus said they're the ones who inherit the kingdom. So that's a great idea, right? But why? Is because kids in their vulnerability, when they call out daddy, are there not knowing how to do all that stuff. They need, they're dependent on their dad. This is what we're called to. It's in our weaknesses that we're made strong. It's in our uttering Abba that we truly pray the way of a dependent child to a father. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. You want to be like Jesus, you got to pray like Jesus. You got to know the Father as your daddy. Paul would later write, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought you out of adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. Paul reiterates using the same language. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And Jesus prays every day you'd know it. Every day you'd experience it. Why? Because if you want to be like him, you've got to pray like him. And this is why we're called to be in prayer. So simple you'd miss it. Just a small word. Sometimes we think we're too sophisticated, too in charge, too sure of ourselves maybe. And in the Gethsemane experiences of our lives, in the places where the cross we must bear looms large before us, we often find that it's in those times the word Abba comes a lot more easily to our lips, those moments of crisis. But I want to encourage you that Jesus, although he used the same words in the moment of crisis, he didn't wait for the crisis. Every single day he was in need of a constant conversation with the Father because he could do nothing of himself. I'm repeating myself because I want you to really know it. I want you to experience it. And that Abba comes running to us as if finding us because we found ourselves in honest prayer. I appreciate that everyone's probably had a different understanding, a different experience of what Father means to them. But in God, we have the perfect Father. Where earthly fathers are imperfect, our Heavenly Father loves us perfectly, loves us completely. It's not complicated. It's really quite simple. Wherever you are, whatever you're going through, whatever you have to deal with, Abba is there for you. Everyone else will let you down. At some stage or another, you're going to be let down. The inadequacies of everybody else's imperfect love will rise to the surface and become very obvious to you in your moment of need. And there's one person who will never let you down. And that's your dad. Your dad in heaven. And Jesus encourages us to pray because God, as a father, is overjoyed to meet the needs of his kids. Jesus believed and acted on the confidence that God answered his prayers. And we too can have the same confidence. Once we understand the mind and heart of Jesus, we start to pray accordingly to our Father like he's our dad. Then when our prayers are being answered, it gives us more confidence, gives us more boldness. You'll start to enter into prayer time differently because you're coming before your dad. I was in the foyer this morning and it was before church and one of our families was coming in. They've got a little newborn baby, or not so newborn, I guess, maybe 5 months old. As little girl was with her grandmother who works with us on staff and just getting snuggled. And grandma's pretty tiny. I said, oh, wouldn't it be so cool if someone was big enough that you could still cuddle in like that as an adult? It'd be weird, but it'd be cool. That they could pick you up and just snuggle you in. And this little baby kind of had his head just kind of snuggled in. I just thought, oh yeah, that'd be nice right now. I'd like that. Right? And I kind of think, though, that that's how God wants us to come to him. Just like that. I'll come and I'll just snuggle in. I'll come and I'll just feel totally relaxed in your presence. Yes, we need a fear. The fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom. Yeah? We know that. The fear, the awesome, reverent respect for God who is holy and we who are not. The one who created the whole world and spoke it into being and still holds it all together, by the way. And yet, right at the same time, Jesus says, yep, I was there with him when we did it together, and you can call him your dad. Because I pray, and I'm still praying, Jesus says, that you would know him like I know him. That you would experience the love of God like Jesus experienced the love of his dad. Because it's then that you'll actually start to become more like him. It's central. It's key. Henry Nguyen said, we must pray not first of all because it feels good or it helps, but because God loves us and wants our attention. Isn't that beautiful? God loves us and wants our attention. Prayer for Jesus, just like for us, became how he understood the Father's will, heard the Father's voice, and was connected to the power source that made the difference that he made. Breakthrough. Breakthrough comes as we align through prayer to the will of the Father. And that happens when we're intimate with him. When we know him and he knows us. There's lots of different ways you can pray. I want to encourage you, just like Jesus, to seek those times of priority alone with your dad in heaven. He made it a priority, we should too. It's then that we'll grow in this intimate relationship and understand what it truly means, and we'll hear his voice. Casual intimacy brings casual revelation. You want to know the Father's will? Spend time. Spend time. You can do it alone, and we've got lots of things here you can do it together. And in your note outline, I've just put some of those things in there. We hold several prayer times during the week here at the chapel. We've got worship rooms every second Tuesday you can come to and just be an atmosphere of worship and prayer together. There's intercessory groups that you can become a part of so that you can just, you know, get together with others who love to be able to pray in the will of God. Lots of things for you to explore and become a part of. One thing we're certain of is that we have to pray like Jesus if we want to see breakthrough. When you stand to your feet, I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. I want to bless you. Yeah, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your willing submission to the Father. Your total dependency on him astounds us because we just look at you as a part of the Godhead, which you are. And we think you could have just done it yourself, I guess. But you choose to model to us the way in which you are longing for us to understand at a very core of our being. That just like you, we can do nothing by ourselves. Nothing of eternal significance in the kingdom. And so we want to submit ourselves again, just like Jesus did to you. We want to be in constant conversation. We commit because we want to see the breakthrough. We want to be your disciples. We want to follow you so that we might be with you, so we might become like you. And to do that, we want to pray like you. And we're going to prioritize, God. Would you help us to see the beauty of prioritizing time with you? Time alone in the secret place. Time alone to hear your will. Time together that would bring encouragement and strength as we pray with one another, united by your Spirit as one church. Most of all, as you keep praying for us, I would pray too right now. God, would you give us a new revelation, a new understanding of you as our dad? Break off the lies that you're cold or distant, absent, neglectful, or any of those things, And we affirm the truth right now that you are loving and kind. You're interested and invested in your kids, in whom you love just like Jesus. Whoa, Holy Spirit, take it deep. Burn that truth into our lives so that as we follow you, we might become just like you. And we'd see the breakthrough. We'd see the breakthrough. We'd see the breakthrough of thousands of people living like Jesus. We'd see the breakthrough in our city. We'd see the breakthrough in the nations. We'd see the breakthrough in our neighborhoods. We'd see the breakthrough in our families. We'd see the breakthrough in our own lives as we become just like you. Thank you, Jesus. Take us from glory to glory for your glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this River Life podcast. Make sure you subscribe to keep up to date with all the latest content. If this podcast has raised any questions for you, contact us via church@riverlifechurch.org.au or through Facebook and Instagram. Thanks for listening.